that we have gathered a lot of information this week. What are we going to do with it? He said we mentioned about these people here that have equal opportunities. So I want you to hang those thoughts in a hook again and just hang tight to them. And as we go through the message, you can think about that. I remember seeing the Pilgrim Witness, the last Pilgrim Witness we got, I guess, October. And he said revivals at Elm Street. And there's one page there. It says a call to worship for Sunday evening services. And he said concluding revival message by Henry Ramos. I'm like, wow, that took faith to put that down. When are we going to get there? There's a lot of things that need to happen before we get there to Sunday. And I don't know if I'm going to make it there. So I'm glad I didn't wrap my van around one of those telephone poles that you all have by the roads around here. And I'm glad that I didn't get sick. I always thought, you know, it crossed my mind when I was coming up here at some point. What if I get sick while I'm out there? Then what? Well, I guess we can cancel the service. We're not going to worry about that. But here we are. God has been faithful, and God has been giving us words to speak. I have threatened already that if I don't have anything to share, we're just going to have a song service. But thank the Lord we have the Word of God, and that He is faithful to us. Well, I just want to take the time to thank everybody for your kindness this week. It's been a very tremendous blessing for being here. It really has been. And thank you all for the invitation of coming. I tell you what, I told somebody that I don't know when, probably never, but I don't know when would I schedule a whole week off from work and go get into an apartment somewhere and just dig into God's Word for a whole week and share God's Word. I don't know if I would ever do it if I wouldn't be obligated to do it. So it really has been a tremendous blessing for me. Digging into God's Word, praying, and seeking God to see what He has. So the blessing is mine as well. I hope you've been blessed by this. And that is my prayer. That's what we came here. But thank you all for the meals, the gifts. Somebody put some more gifts in the van for the children. So they will be very happy for that. I just want to thank you for that. I really do. Thank you for all the gifts and even the monetary gift you all share with me. I didn't come for that. I think I didn't. But thank you all. Really have. Thank you for the cup of water. I'm not sure who puts a cup of water here. I saw Brother Clinton do it one evening. So thank you all. That's a tremendous blessing. Well, we have a memory verse that we've been trying to memorize all this week. Maybe we can start with that. And it's Isaiah 57, verse 15. We're not going to take the time to repeat it all together. I'm just going to open it up. If you want to say it, say it. Be a good thing to share with everybody here tonight. Who be first?
For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in a high and holy place, with him also that is of a humble and contrite spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite ones.
Very good. Thank you, brother. Yes. To revive? Very good. Thank you. Anybody else yet? Yes. Very good. Thank you so much. Anybody else yet? Yes. Spirit? Very good, Nathaniel. Thank you. One more, yeah. Yes. Mm-hmm. Very good. Thank you so much for sharing. I know, I'm sure more of you know it. And that is the blessing, really, to know it in our minds and in our hearts. And it's just a special verse there. Okay, now, let's take care of the children's class yet. This is the last class. And I'm glad you all came. And I hope you can remember some things that we have talked about this week. But here I got a toy. Look at this. I got me a little toy here. You see that? Now, this is kind of a hard word to say in Spanish, but it's called piripituche. I don't even know if that's the correct term for it, but that's what we called it. I couldn't even find the word in the dictionary. But I remember this was called a piripituche. Okay? And what it is, you spin it around, and it kind of makes tension on that string, and it makes, it's like an acrobat. I think that's how you say it. See? And this toy is pretty special because, look at that. It just flips around, makes some funny flips. Now, I couldn't do that, okay? Uh-huh. But I tell you what, children, this toy is very special because my father made it. When I was growing up, my father made me one like this. And I don't know what happened to it. I wish I would still have it. But I asked my dad when my son was little if he could make me another one. And he was glad to do it. And so he cut all those parts and he learned how to do it. So this toy actually is in my treasure box. Well, I don't have a box, but I keep it in my closet. And my children can play with it once in a while. So they don't play with it very often because I want to preserve this. Because this is a treasure. Why? Because my father made it and gave it to me. You see? So I hope that you can get the point. You need to be thankful. This is my point for the children. You need to be thankful for the things that dad and mom has given you. I know we have lots of stuff. Okay? Lots of toys, which is a blessing. But make sure you thank them for what they give to you. Can you remember that, children? To be thankful toward the parents? Toward your parents? Can you remember that? And remember the word piripituche? The preacher that came with a piripituche? And he made all kind of flips with that thing. Say that? Well, we can play with it later, okay? We're going to set it right here. Maybe we knock it down, so we're going to set it right there. My dad was a very poor boy whenever he was growing up, and he didn't have many toys. And he felt bad for him because all his friends, not all of them, but some of his friends had more toys than he did. He was very poor. So I thank God that he had a heart to provide for his children. My dad did not want my brother and I, there's only two brothers, I failed to say that earlier today, but it's only two of us. He wanted his children never to experience what he experienced because it was a very sad situation being poor. So we never experienced poverty. We saw it with our eyes, but we never experienced poverty. And a lot of that it was because of dad's effort to provide for the family and to provide for us. So I have a big debt that I owe to my father. And it's because of the grace of God I'm here. But his faithfulness to God through through what he went through and working through all that he went through has helped me. And I'm so grateful that I had a good example to look to. Okay? And that is a blessing that most of us have. And we need to be more thankful for that. So remember the Piti Pitucci that Henry's father made for him. And that's one of the things I'm thankful for. Now, let's do a little review right quick because this is the last day. And this is the final exam. Okay? Monday night, what did we talk about? It hasn't even been a week yet. Oh boy. Jesus the Savior. I thought we were going to have to preach it again. What was on Tuesday and Wednesday? We talked about the same thing. Will I miss him too? We gave you five different groups of people that miss Christ and why they miss him. And I hope you did not miss Christ this week. Because if you miss Christ, you really missed him. And unfortunately, we're not going to have revivals this coming week. At least I'm not going to be here. Y'all can keep having revivals, okay? Okay. On Thursday, what did we talk on Thursday? Conformity. And we need to be conformed to what? To the image of Christ. Thank you. Then we talk on Friday. What did we talk Friday? Watch out for the serpent. Yes, and we gave you six lies, and we went over them last night as well, so we're not going to take the time to go over that. And then Saturday, boy, that's a long time ago. Saturday night, what did we talk? Non-conformity. That was this morning. Yes, last night we talked about what? Character revival. That's right. And we looked up at David, and there were seven qualities of David. I'm just going to read them to you. He was cunning in playing, mighty man, valiant man, man of war, prudent in matters, comely person, and the Lord is with him. And like Sister Rhoda already said, we talked about nonconformity this morning, and the title was, What Have You Left to the World? And I don't think I kind of brought my story back to the end. But that was the whole purpose of the story I told you of the Reformation when that Miguel Servet was killed. My point was that man there, looking there, the people failed. What have you left to the devil? And that's my cry today. If we're not going to apply the Word of God and become a non-conform people to the world, my question is, what have we left to the world? That was my point. I hope you got something out of it. I know it was a lot of material we went over, but here we are tonight. We have gathered all this information. We have been talked. The Spirit of God has been talking to us. He has been speaking to our hearts. What are you going to do with it? And that is my burden. I was with Brother Howard. We didn't even talk about this, but I have the same burden Brother Howard did. What are we going to do with what we have learned? And this burden hasn't gone away. I went to Bible school in 2016, and that's where I met Brother Anthony. He was the principal there, and we got a little bit more acquainted than we had before. And at the end, that was the first time I went to the Pilgrim Bible School, okay? So it was a new experience for me, and it stuck with me. But seeing the young people, and I'm glad you young people are here tonight, because I like to preach to young people, but everybody likes to be young, so we preach to everybody, right? Remember, that's what I told you. The older people don't like to be called old, which I don't blame you. And so we're speaking to all of us. But my burden is this. We have given so many blessings. We have been taught the Word of God from little on up. I just cannot fathom the thought that some people never heard stories of Noah, or never heard the stories of Jonah, or Samson, or David, or Saul, or Jonathan. They don't know. So how sad. But we are so blessed. And I've always been intrigued with the fact of people that have had good teaching, have gone to church all their lives, have had somewhat stable homes. Nobody has a perfect home. I haven't seen a perfect home yet. If you do, let me know how to get there. I barely think our home is normal, but maybe we are. I don't know. But we all have had somewhat stable homes, have been in the church, have proclaimed salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ, have been to Bible school, have been to revival meetings many times, and all of a sudden, they lose out. That is a burden of mine. I am all to evangelize. I love to evangelize people. Maybe I don't do it enough. But with that burden, it's a burden to keep the people that we have. Because if we cannot keep what we have, then what? So, go with me to 1 Corinthians 10. And I never gave you the title for the message, and we need to get it here. The title for the message, while you're going to 1 Corinthians 10, is Fool or Wise, Which One Are You? Fool or wise, which one are you? First Corinthians chapter 10. And I want to read the first 15 verses of this chapter. And I just want you to notice the equal opportunity that these people had. Brother Howard mentioned that. Opportunity, equal opportunity. And I'm going to show you, this is about the children of Israel, and they all had the same opportunity. So please look for words that say all. And then please look up words that say some and not all. Notice, 1 Corinthians 10, moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of the spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmur, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to men, but God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Wherefore, my dearly beloved, flee from idolatry. I speak as to wise men, judge ye what I say. Do you get the picture? These people, they all had equal opportunity. So it means that, just apply it to ourselves. We all have been coming to revival meetings. Some of you didn't make it every night, which is okay. But I'm glad you're here. And you are here listening to the Word of God. And we've been listening. And a lot of us, probably all of us, maybe not all of us, but almost all of us, have been raised in a Christian home. Somewhat stable. That's how I like to put it. Somewhat stable. And we have had equal opportunities. But my fear is that this is going to happen again. Because it happens over and over. is that with some of them, God was not well pleased. He says many, actually, with many of them. Because some murmur, some fell into idolatry, some fell into fornication. Why? That is my burden tonight. Why? This does not have to happen. And the question is, are you a fool or are you a wise? Here we have two options. We all have the opportunity to drink of the same rock. We all have had instructions. What are we going to do with it? Proverbs 15, verse 5 says, a fool despises his father's instruction, but he that regardeth reproof is prudent. There you have it, the two options. A prudent person hears, takes it, appreciates it, puts it to practice. But a fool is it that despises. He doesn't care. Proverbs 15:31, the ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise. You want to be wise, young people? You want to be wise? Maybe? Good idea? Yeah, it's a good idea to be wise. Guess what you need to do? Pay attention and hear the reproof of life. He that refuseth instruction despises his own soul. Maybe you won't say, no, I don't really care what dad or mom are saying, what the church is saying, what the word of God says. I don't really care. He doesn't realize, a person like that doesn't realize that he's despising his own soul. Because Brother Anthony already prayed for us that we have a soul that's going to live eternally. And we don't stop and think about that. But if you don't follow the instructions, you're refusing or despising your own soul. But he that heareth reproof getteth understanding. So we're going to give five characteristics of a fool person, and then we're going to go back and retrace our steps back to the same five things, and we're going to do the opposite, and we're going to show you what a prudent person does. A fool first and then a wise. So let's start studying about what a fool looks like. Now, I don't like to call people fool because the Bible says we should never call a person fool. But the Word of God can tell us the truth. If you're not abiding, if you're not taking reproof, you are a fool. That's what the Word of God says. Okay? Now, first thing I would like to think. A fool, okay, let me describe what a fool person is. A person that is a fool is a person who lacks good sense or judgment. That's what the dictionary says. Good sense or judgment. We all want to have good sense because there are decisions to be made in life. I never dreamed that life would be full of decisions. I thought, you know, you just go and play soccer on Friday evenings. You go to a chorus. You go and play with your friends. You go to Bible school and have a good time. I never dreamed that life would have a lot of decisions. But life is full of decisions, and you better be a wise person to make the right decisions. Because a fool, he says, that is a person who lacks good sense or judgment. First characteristic of a fool, he's always right. He's always right. A fool person says like this in Proverbs 12, verse 15. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth to counsel is wise. A fool thinks he's always right. Proverbs 3:7. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. Have you seen these kind of people? You never seen a fool that he thinks he's always right? Maybe we have the same characteristic, huh? I certainly have. A lot of times I think I'm right, and everybody's wrong. We think we know better than dad's advice. We think we know better than mom's instruction. Because mom is always worried about stuff, isn't she? She's always worried. She worries about everything. I mean, a tree can fall on you. The power lines could fall down on top of you. All kinds of things that mom worries about. And boy, poor mom, she got her head stuck in the sand. Don't have a clue what's going on. Dad is just old-fashioned person. He never had a cell phone whenever he was a young man. He don't even know how to use one. And he's going to tell me how to use it? Nah, forget it. Dad, he's the old man. Don't know what's going on. Fool on him. Could you please stop and listen to the Word of God just for a few minutes? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes. If you act like that way, if you believe that way, you are nothing more and nothing less than a fool. Jesus was concerned about this. Jesus was giving a lot of teaching. And at the end of his teaching there in Matthew 7, in the Sermon on the Mount, the most beautiful and powerful sermon ever preached and recorded. And we believe that it's the constitution for our Christian lives. And we don't have time to study that. But at the end, he says this in Matthew 7. He gives a story about what? A wise man and a what? A fool, foolish man. He said a foolish man is the person. We talk about the fool right now. A foolish man is the one that heareth the word of God. He listens to it. Sounds good. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. But he goeth and doeth it not. He throws it out and he goes and does whatever he wants to do. He said, that's a foolish man. It's like a man building a house on the sand and the storms of life compounding on it. And the rain hits it, thunderstorm hits it, and wipes it out. And this is happening over and over and over. Not with people out there. We're not talking about people out there. We're talking about it in the church. People are still being fools. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuseth reproof erreth. Number two, a fool person makes fun of sin. Okay? Don't ever make fun of sin. But this is a fool. We're starting about the fool. I'm trying to make you wise right now, but I'm just trying to describe what a fool is. A fool makes a mock of sin, and among the righteous there is favor. Proverbs 14:9 is the verse I just read to you. Fools make a mock of sin. It's a sport to a fool to do mischief. But a man of understanding hath wisdom. I grew up in El Salvador, like I already told you. When I was young, kind of like these fellas over here, I had a lot of good friends. Good friends. Friends that we prayed together. We studied the Word of God together. We did lots of stuff together. And there's one particular friend of mine. We were best friends. Very good friends. But he chose to leave the church. And he became a very sinful person. I couldn't tell you how many women he has had in his life anymore. It became like a sport to him. And my heart cried for him because we were very good friends. We did a lot of things together. We went to Bible schools together. But he became a fool, making fun of sin. And I just cringe at the thought that the consequences are coming. He almost got killed some time ago because he got in an adulterous relationship with a police wife. And he just about got killed, is what I heard. I don't know what all happened. But a fool makes light of consequences. Remember what I told you the other night about Nike, the sign Nike says just do it? No consequences attached to it? You are a fool if you believe that. There are consequences. Number three, a fool. We're studying about a fool is blind. He's blind. What do you mean blind? Yes, he can't see. Can't see what's happening. Proverbs 26:11 says, "A dog, as the dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly." What is folly? Folly means lack of good sense or normal prudence or foresight. His folly is thinking he could not be caught. And we can talk a lot of different things, but I'm going to read you two more verses. In Proverbs 20, verse 20, I'm reading you a lot of Proverbs because Proverbs is full of instruction about against being a fool or being a wise person. But in Proverbs 20, 20 says like this, whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness. I found it fascinating that there's a verse like that. Now, I'm sure probably most of you are not going to curse your father and mother, but you can reject their instructions and teaching. But if you do that, he says, your lamp is going to get turned off. Your lights are going to go off, knocked out. Then you can't see. If you don't have lights, you can't see. Have you ever tried driving without lights? That's a scary feeling. I was in March of this year, my wife and I went to Belize to preach a week of revivals. And then they left me borrow a vehicle there because it's far to drive to Belize. So we flew, right? And they left me borrow one. And we went to somebody's place for supper, and we needed to be at the church at 7 to preach revivals. And guess what happened? I'm driving down the road, and it's dark, and all of a sudden the lights went off on the truck. I couldn't see. So I just stopped. You can't drive without lights. That's what happens whenever you don't obey mom and dad. Proverbs 30. Now, this is the best verse here. Proverbs 30, verse 17. The eye that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The eye. Okay? The person. Okay, the person that mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. The ravens of the valley shall pick it out, and the young eagles shall eat it. Now, that's a gruesome picture. Get a raven or an eagle, come and get your eyeball. That's what Proverbs says. Whoever mocketh us the instruction of, well, it says, mocketh at his father and despiseth to obey his mother. It's a tremendous comparison. Young people, this is serious. Number 4, a fool is empty. A fool is empty. Go with me to 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Verse 12 through 22. I don't think I'm going to take the time to read it. But here he's talking about someone that has believed. And then they turn away. Like my friend that I was talking about. And he says, he gives a couple of different descriptions about this person. And one of the things is that he's empty. He's puffy clouds, and I cannot lay my eyes on it. Verse 17, these are whales without water, clouds that are carried with a tempest, to whom the mist of darkness is reserved forever. In other words, the empty clouds, puffy looking cloud. It could look pretty, like a pretty cloud, but it's empty. And that's what a person like this is, that doesn't take heed to reproof. And then he says in verse 18, for when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness, those that were clean escape from them who live in error. And he keeps on going. Verse 20, for if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein, and overcome, and the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. So my point here simply is they become empty. It's just a big noisy bang, like a big drum. You know what a drum is full of? It? Nothing. That's why they make so much noise. That's what a fool becomes, an empty person. And number 5, the end of a fool is... Anybody wants to guess what's the end of the fool? Destruction. Destruction. Go with me back to Proverbs. We're going to read these verses. Proverbs 5. Proverbs 5. I'm going to start verse 1 and 2, and we're going to jump to verse 11 through 14. 1 and 2 of chapter 5 of Proverbs. My son, attend unto my wisdom and bow thine ear to my understanding, that thou mayest regard discretion and that my lips may keep knowledge. And he gives warning. You keep reading about this. It's about immorality, about lust. We've been talking a lot about that. Maybe not enough, but we did mention it this week. Then jump to 11. And thou mourn at the last, when thy flesh and thy body are consumed, and say, how have I hated instruction, and my heart despised reproof, and have not obeyed the voice of my teachers, nor inclined mine ear to them that instructed me. I was almost in all evil in the midst of the congregation and assembly. When did he realize that? Whenever his flesh and thy body are consumed. Can you hear the cry of this person? And he wishes so bad that he could do it over. And he said, can I please do it over? How much I regret that I did not take heed to thy instruction. I have not obeyed the voice of my teachers. And now it's too late. That's why in Ecclesiastes it tells us to remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Before those days come, whenever you regret it. That's in my own words. Now, let's go back. And let's talk about a prudent person, because we want to end up in a good note here. The first one, the fool was right. The prudent says, I'm not always right. That's the first one. A prudent person recognizes God's first and the people that he has allowed to be an influence in his life, and he loves it. Do you know, young people, that you can actually love instruction? Do you know that? Do you know that you can actually love what mom and dad say? You're probably scratching your head. How can you? Yes, you can. You can love what they say. Brother Don encouraged us this morning. Just keep hanging in there. And someday you're going to realize, you know what? Mom and dad were right. And we thank God for mom and dad then. My son, hear the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the law of thy mother. Oh, here's the verse. Remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days come not. You recognize God, and you recognize the authority that God has placed in your life, and you love it. Yes, you can. It's not weird to love instruction. You know that? It's not a weird thing. Maybe you're not going to be the coolest guy on the block, but who cares? It's the right thing to do. So love it. Number two, we talk about a fool making fun of sin. Now, a prudent is sober. Now, let me tell you what sober is. It's marked by temperance, moderation, or seriousness. Now, by now you know that I'm not promoting just somebody stuck up, or that you always go around with a serious look on your face, and that is, we're sober. Thank God we're sober tonight. I'm not promoting that kind of lifestyle, okay? We can have a good sense of humor. But sober means that you think. You think before you do something. I mean, you go hunting, right? Most of you go hunting. Maybe some of the girls go hunting too around here. I don't know. Before you pull the trigger, you know that something is going to go bang, right? And something is going to go out the barrel at a very high rate of speed. And it's going to go hit something somewhere. Do you know where? If you miss the big buck, are you going to hit the house on the other side of the field? Are you going to hit the highway? Are you going to shoot towards the interstate? I mean, you need to stop and think. And say, wait a minute, where is this going to end up at? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walketh around seeking whom he may devour. Remember what I told you the other night, but we're talking about the lies of the devil. The devil acts or tries to make you believe that there's not going to be any consequences. For every action, there's always a greater or equal reaction. That's a law of physics. Why can't we apply it to our spiritual lives? And we think, no, we don't. It won't hurt. We can do this. It won't hurt. It's not nothing going to happen. Think. That's what I'm trying to promote. People, young people that stop and think. Play the tape to the end, they used to say. Play the CD to the end. Play the song all the way to the end. At the end, what is it going to sound like? Number three, we talk about a fool being blind. He couldn't see, right? Now, a wise person, he can see. Don't you think it would be better to see where you're going? I was very happy whenever somebody came and helped us with that truck. That time we were without lights in Belize. And we got late to the service when we got there. Thankfully with lights. You can see. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. That's a fool. He can't see. But why is he trying to do that? Because listen. Lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. The gospel of Christ can turn your lights on. Number four. We talk about a fool being empty. Now a wise person is not a fool, F-O-O-L, but he is full of the Holy Ghost, F-U-L-L. Kind of play on words there. He's a pruning is not a fool, but he's full of the Spirit of God. John 7:38 says, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. And I'm going to turn to that verse right quick. 7:38, because I did not print the next verse. It says, but this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe of him should receive, for the Holy Ghost was not yet given, because that Jesus was not yet glorified. If you take heed to instructions, you put them to practice, you treasure that, you love the instructions of your father and mother, and the teachings of God's word, the Bible says that out of your belly or out of your inside, there's going to be flows of rivers of living water, which is talking about the Spirit of God. Isn't that amazing? That you and I can be filled with the Holy Spirit? And there's nothing weird about that. That is the neatest thing you can ever experience. Is to be filled with the Spirit of God? That's amen. You think it's some kind of weird thing. It is not. 2 Peter 1:4 says like this, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, given all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and virtue knowledge, and to knowledge, temperance, and to temperance, patience, and to patience, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. If these things will be in you and abound. How is your life tonight? Are these things in you? Are they abounding? If they are there abounding, you're going to be full. You're not going to be barren, neither unfruitful. You're going to be full of godly fruit. And Jesus in John 15, he talks about him being the vine and you are the branches. And he said these words. I don't have it printed here, but he said, in this is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. You can't bear fruit if you're empty. Hello? A plant that is hollow inside is dead. You're not going to go and get grapes out of hollow vine, okay? It don't happen. It's dead. You're not going to produce fruit. You can go and tape some fruit on it. And, look at that. It's pretty. There ain't no fruit in there. But if these things abound, you're going to be full of the Spirit of God. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath gotten that he was, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. You want to be blind? Don't produce any fruit. But who wants to be blind? And number five, we talk about a fool. A fool's end is destruction. What is the end of a wise person? A prudent's end is a happy one. Listen to this verse. He is in the way of life that keepeth instruction, but he that refuses reproof erreth. Which end do you want? Destruction or a happy one? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What are you going to do with the instructions of God's word? Are you thankful that mom and dad took you to church? Oh, there was many times when I did not want to go to church. And mom said, I'm not asking you if you want to go. There's not even an option. We're going. Praise God that they were brave enough to tackle that young man and take him to church. I will not trade that for nothing. But why? Why do people that had this blessing will walk out the door and throw everything to the wind like if they never heard it before? And they act worse than people that never heard it. That, brethren, is a big burden. And I'm going to tell you a story yet. One more story. I got about 5 more minutes yet left here. And I'm going to tell you one more story. And I want you to think this story. The story is of a young man that I grew up with together. His name was Toñito. We call him Toñito. His name was Antonio. Just like Brother Anthony in Spanish is Antonio. And we call him Toño for short, and for endearment, we call him Toñito. We do that a lot in Central America. Hardly anybody gets called by their full name. We call him some other name. Well, Toñito was raised by his aunt. And I don't know what happened. I remember seeing his mother around with his siblings, but he did not live with them. And I don't know why, but he was raised by his aunt. And his aunt took care of him, but he would beat him like crazy. And this poor Toñito suffered a lot in the hands of his aunt. His dad was a drunkard. His dad's nickname was Cachucha, which means a cap, bill cap. That was his nickname, Mr. Bill Cap. Don't ask me why. That was his dad's name. And they tell me, I don't know how to prove this, but they said that Toñito's dad jumped in front of an 18-wheeler to end his life. But there was Toñito. Toñito attended our Christian school. He came to our house many times. We played Monopoly together and other games with us. We had a chicken farm, and whenever the chicks were little, we had to vaccinate them. I don't know if you still do that here, but we had to do that by hand. We had to catch him 3,000 birds in one afternoon, and we had to take to the man injecting some solution in the chicks there. And we had Toñito helping us doing these things. He was a good friend. As he got older, he also chose the way of sin. He started drinking drugs and who knows what. One day, particular day, I remember very well. I was probably around 17 or 18 years old. By then, of course, our paths had separated pretty big time, but he still came to some of the summer Bible schools, and we were together in the youth classes, and he attended some services once in a while. And I was waiting outside the gate of our school. Our school had a chain link fence the whole way around, because that's kind of how you do in Central America, to try to keep people out, or else it becomes a public park. And I was waiting for somebody to bring the key. We were going to play volleyball that day. So I'm sitting over there on the old piece of like a pillar that was there that was being knocked over, and he was left there. So I'm sitting there waiting for somebody to bring the key. When I saw Toñito coming down the street, by then he was a big boy. Okay, Hispanics are not very big, but this guy was big. He was square. He was very strong, hardworking man. He was a hardworking man. He didn't have his shirt on that day. He was carrying his shirt in his hand. And as soon as he got close, I noticed his fiery red eyes. I learned later on that he had spent all his wages of that week drinking, and I don't know what all he put in his body. But it was more than alcohol. And I started, you know, getting a little concerned about Toñito. Make sure he recognized me. Make sure we're still buddies, right? And he started ramming that gate like a wild animal. And he would ram that gate and ram that gate. I start talking to Toñito. Toñito, calm down. Calm down. Tranquilo, Toñito. ¿Qué te pasa? And he kept mumbling something. And this is what he was mumbling. Why? Why couldn't I have a home like you did? Why? And he would ram that gate time after time. And he got his shirt and tore it in pieces with his teeth and throw it in the middle of the road and walk away. But then I was pretty scared. Needless to say, that scene never left my mind. You can't see something like that and forget it. You can't hear those words and forget it. He was converted in 2016. He repented, but it wasn't long that he fell back into his old habits of drinking. And I think it was last year, he walked into a chapel there, an evangelical church there, and he hung himself. And that's the end of Toñito. It's been a very hard story for me. And it's easier. Okay, it's a little easier for me to understand Toñito's life and the end of it. Because of all that he went through. Okay, there's no excuse. God gave him lots and lots of opportunities. What is worse yet is one of us ending up in the same place. That's what I cannot understand. People that have been instructed in the way of the Lord. People that have gone to revival meetings like this. Time after time after time. And they walk out the door and throw everything to the wind. Brothers and sisters, can I please beg you to love instruction? Young people, why can we love instruction? And appreciate what it has been handed to us. And learn from it. There's people like Toñito that would dream, that would trade anything and everything that they have to get what you and I have. A fool or a wise? Which one are you this evening? Which one are you this evening? And we're going to sing a song again, an invitation song. And I would like to sing 923, Have Thine Own Way.